In the year 2000, there was a great and glorious movie that came out. It was called Gladiator. And it was the Academy Award winning movie that year. And I don't know that it would be my pastoral recommendation for you to watch. It is a very violent movie. But if you're into violent man movies, or I don't know, it might be a violent woman movie. I don't know if you're a violent person, but or if you like those kind of movies. But it was an interesting and take on the Roman Empire and a particular character during that time. And at the very beginning of the movie, this general named Maximus is addressing his troops before they charge against the barbarian hordes. And as he looks at his army, he says something to them, knowing that they may be facing the very end of their life. And he says to them, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." What we do in life echoes in eternity. It is a picture of a truth we're going to find throughout history and in all humanity, that eternity is actually written into the fabric of mankind. That mankind is deeply and uniquely aware, in a way that no other part of creation actually is, aware that this life is not the end, that there is something after this time together. All cultures for all time have wrestled with this truth or reality that this life is not the end. There's something beyond. And not only that, but that this life matters. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the scripture kind of sums this truth up succinctly. It says, "God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put into man's heart eternity. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." In other words, that eternity is written into the fabric of mankind, into our DNA. We know something about it. We can't fully describe it all, because going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, we rebelled against God. We said, "We don't want to go your way. We want our own knowledge of good and evil." And because of that, there is a wondering, a not sureness. There's a beyond here that we can't fully get our arms around, and yet all of mankind actually knows this life's not it. There is something beyond this frame. And all cultures have wrestled with this. You can go to the concept of eternity. You can talk about places like the Greek and the Romans, who had their own concepts of bliss and judgment. They called it Elysium and Tartarus. The ancient Persians had their own concept of bliss and judgment. Egyptians constructed whole worlds around what was next. That's why we have so many of the mummified remains of their leaders, in part because of their beliefs of what was after this life. You can go from age to age, and what you will find throughout all of humanity, it is clear that deep down we know this life isn't it. There's something else. It is clear to the human heart, to the image bearers of God, all men and women, that we were meant to be forever. And if that is true, if eternity is written into our fabric, if it is clear to the human heart, even if we'll try to push it away or maybe even scientifically explain it away, if that is true, it's important for us to get our head around the truth of what is to come. It's important for us to see and understand it for how we live our lives, how we lead in our homes, how we care for those that we are around, how we live with those we work with, and in everyday life. If we go on forever, then how we see our neighbor is incredibly important, how we communicate with our neighbor, how we orient our lives and our families, how we equip and train our kids, And the easiest thing in the world is to get lost in the day-to-day kind of mundaneness of Monday through Friday and going through all the things and to forget that this life is not it. There is another to come, and it means that this life matters. And so what we're going to do for just the next few weeks is to come around the scripture and to get our heads and our hearts around the truth, the understanding, even the theology of what happens in the life to come. And even as I say that, I recognize we just finished a series called Words where we said we want to come to the Word not just for knowledge and not just for understanding, but to grab the heart of it, to receive the heart of it. So this won't be simply a series where we try to understand it from a mental standpoint or just a mind standpoint or a knowledge standpoint, but we want to be able to open up our hearts to ask God to speak to us at the deepest places with respect to what His Word has to say about what is next and the impact that it has on our lives. So we're not just here to be academic, we're here to understand the heart of God and what He wants to give to us. This morning, we're just going to take a few moments to look at Jesus' own words as He teaches gives us a parable or a picture that is incredibly important about what He has to say about the age to come and the reverberations for what it means for our everyday lives. Luke chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 19. You can look on in the scripture as we read. These are Jesus' words. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple, meaning royalty, and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And we'll stop there. There's more to this picture. It is an unbelievable, an incredible picture that Jesus is giving in this story. He's giving a parable. Now, the context of this story is that Jesus is dealing and speaking to the religious authorities. We call them Pharisees. And they often lived very well and with incredible comfort off of the backs of the people of Israel. And they were taxed and they were taken from and they were manipulated and they were pressed down. And the religious elites would live high off of their pain. And so Jesus is telling a story or giving a picture to awaken in them something that he longed for them to see. Now, there is more here, even in this parable, than what you and I could get to on one Sunday morning, and we will have several weeks to unpack many things about the life to come. But I, on a base level, just want to establish a few things for us as we step into this series together. And number one, it is clear Jesus is saying every human is eternal. Every human is eternal. This life is not the end. We are headed somewhere. Jesus is making it incredibly clear there is eternal life and there is also an eternal death. Neither will end. Both are real. Both are unending. And he gives a very clear, lucid picture of this eternity. And it's important to understand this increasingly, even as I say that, because we tend to live in a culture that will minimize the reality of God, the reality of his glory and goodness and his righteousness and his call on mankind. Because we'll either say, there is no God. And out there, God's not real. He's a figment of your imagination. He cannot be seen. He can't be felt. He can't be heard. He can't be touched. He can't be tasted. He's a fairy tale. So you have that on one side, and on the other side you have God is a nice granddad with a bushy white beard who would never hold accountable or never be, who would never stand in any way to hold people accountable for their decisions in this life. He's a good guy. Maybe even kind of like a genie, and maybe we can ask him to help us when we get into a spot from time to time, but mostly he's out there. And that is often the idea that we get. These are the ideas, maybe even competing ideas that we get about God. He's either an apparition or he's somewhere out there. And Jesus, through this story, is saying both of these ideas are wrong. It misses completely who my Father is. And what he's saying and telling this story is to say, he is serious about you. Meaning you can be high and have comfort and glory and have attained and achieved. You can be in the dark, in the dirt, but your life is real. He sees you and you matter, and he's serious about you. And I'm here to reveal the loving heart of the Father to say that God is serious about holiness and beauty and glory and righteousness. He is serious about sin and pain and suffering. And there is coming a moment in this life where this body will stop functioning should the Lord tarry, which is the fun churchy way of saying should the Lord not decide to show up today. But our lives are going to go on. And he's looking at these religious elites and manipulators and saying, you're looking at your life and you're thinking everything is okay and you're living as if because of the opulence you have that you're okay and your heart is far from God. And I do not want you to miss what this life is actually about. I want you to understand. And that is the context that he is speaking this particular story. Both of them, these men in this story, one had no quality of life, one had great quality of life. And yet both are going to find themselves with these bodies done. And Jesus is saying, wake up, your life matters. Paul is going to affirm this teaching, the Apostle Paul, in a number of occasions. His teaching was often to the Gentile nations or the non-Jewish, non the nations outside of Israel. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says it succinctly. He says, I don't want us to lose heart. Because these vessels are fading away. We're going to find that this will not go on. But we don't lose heart because this outer self is wasting away. Our inner self gets renewed day by day. If you're in Christ, if you're with this King, you can be made alive internally, even though this is perishing. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're going away, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Wake up. This is temporary, and it's wasting away. Later this year, I turn 50. It's up there. I remember when my parents were turning 50, and I remember thinking, dang, they're old, right? And now I'm there, and I've got the white whiskers to prove. And I have found something to be true. I have to fight not to grunt when I stand up. It's a battle. I'm just going to be honest with you. I tend to make my knees pop all the time. They didn't do that when I was 20-something. They do now. My family tells me that when I sneeze, it's absurd and loud. I think it's normal, but apparently it's not. If I think about eating a donut these days, I weigh 2 pounds more the next day. It just happens. There is a reality that this is temporary, and it's on a slow journey towards not working anymore. Time is undefeated, and the body is wasting away. And that is a reality, and yet, what Paul is saying, what Jesus is saying is, there is something beyond here. Sin has moved in and marred and messed with this life in a way that we were never meant to. We were always meant to have glory, to be able to stand up without saying, ah, right? We were always meant to have goodness and glory. But something was stolen. And so we experience the fragility of the body in this life. That is a reality. And one chapter over in 2 Corinthians, you go from 4 to 5, Paul says something so encouraging. He says, all right, so because of this eternal nature, we can always be of good courage. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What a unique thing we're being called into. We walk by faith and believing for something greater, not by sight. What we can see, taste, touch, feel. Our lives can't be wrapped up in this temporal, empirical world. There's something greater. There's something glorious. So we can be of good courage, even if this isn't working the way that we long for it to work. Be of good courage that we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or whether we're away, we make it our aim to bring glory, to please, to magnify His glorious goodness, His worth, to please Him. And what Paul wants to do is affirm this picture that Jesus has given to us. That though this is wasting away, there's an opportunity that we have in humanity to be brought home, to be made the way we were always meant to be, in his presence and alive. Jesus looks as he's hanging on the cross to a criminal who's in pain and who has failed and who is miserable and who is paying for his treachery. And he asks for mercy and says, would you remember me? Just a heart of humility. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in glory, in paradise. When we pass, for those who believe in Jesus, we get ushered immediately into his presence. And we're going to unpack heaven, and we're going to unpack hell. We will talk through those over the next few weeks. But there is a weight that Jesus is asking us to awaken to. He's saying that this life is real, but there is something more real that's coming. And in that text in 2 Corinthians where Paul is trying to help us experience the weight of being here in the body but being apart from Jesus, he says, I want you to be aware of this life matters, and it hits at the next level. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Which brings to the surface the other core issue that Jesus is trying to get at with this story. Is not only do we all live forever, all humans are eternal, but our everyday choices, our actions, our thoughts, our lives matter forever. To go back to Gladiator, what we do in life is felt in eternity. You and I are eternal. This life matters. How we live with each other matters. How we walk with our God matters. What we receive from him and with him matters. After we have passed, our lives and our actions will be brought before the Lord. And we're going to talk about what judgment means for the one who puts his hope and faith in Jesus. And we'll talk about what judgment means for the one who refuses to come home and will not come up under the covering of Jesus. We'll talk through that. But it's clear through the scripture, Hebrews 9, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Meaning all of us will stand before God and give an account for our lives. All of us. And it won't matter if you were a preacher or you found yourself on the street. That's what Jesus is trying to say. It's not really about your station. It's not about your riches. It certainly won't be about your comfort. I believe that's what he's saying to those Pharisees that day. He's saying, you are every day being lulled into thinking everything's okay because you can look spiritual and everything can seem to be okay, and you've assessed that to mean the blessing of God. And there's a man, and Jesus paints a pretty gross picture where dogs are coming and licking his sores and they're looking at him with judgment. And God's saying, no, this man knows me. and he will know me forever. And he's saying, wake up. Wake up. If you're sitting in your place of comfort, wake up. For all of us, this preacher included, are deeply and incredibly needy for him. We need him for hope, for restoration, for life, for conviction, for rest, for peace, for connection, for everything you and I will ever need. He is our source. And so Jesus is asking us to awaken. And I think that's important because I want to address something about the church and judgment, because maybe even historically when the church, and you might even feel like the church is synonymous with judgment. If you have grown up maybe even outside of the church, or maybe even if you grew up inside of the church, when you think about church or God, you often think about heavy judgment, divine wrath, judgment, maybe hellfire, brimstone, sermons of old. And I just want to say, don't believe that when the scripture speaks to the judgment of God was ever meant to scare or manipulate people into following him. The judgments and the wrath of God, which we'll talk about through this series, if you're interested in learning on this, I invite you to come be a part of this over the next few weeks. But the point of teaching on judgment isn't to scare people into obedience and to point the finger at those who don't believe, to try to scare them and manipulate them. The point of the scripture teaching about judgment is not to condemn, but to awaken us to the reality that does exist. He's saying, wake up. You matter. This life matters. It reverberates throughout eternity. And your Father has sent his one and only Son to take your place so you can be alive. Because eternity is not just someday out there. Eternity is having his presence today. It's walking with him now. It's having access to that which we could not create for ourselves. And I believe Jesus actually has compassion, a ton of anger, healthy, righteous anger at those religious manipulators. But he's saying, you're missing it. And you're going to end up on the other side of that divide, longing for that which I was giving to you, but you would not receive because you would not come to me. That is why the scripture speaks about judgment. God is not trying to manipulate you to get to heaven. God is inviting you to wake up to the fact that you are eternal already. You're here breathing and your heart is beating because God commands it. He's given us 1 hour in this broken world to awaken to this world is not it. And you and I know it because when we lose someone, if you've ever been at a funeral, I don't care if it's your precious grandmother or an infant child, we feel the robbery of death. We know deep down there's something wrong. We were never meant to be this way. Sin stole something from us, and Jesus came and took it back and said, while you can incur a physical death, you can have spiritual life forever. You can come back home to how you were made forever. But wake up. You need me. That's what he was saying to those Pharisees that day. It's the most loving thing a true king would do. It's the most loving thing a father would do. He'd say, oh, child, don't touch that stove. Don't. I love you too much. Awaken. Be aware. This whole room is filled with eternal souls. Forever. And that's, I believe, maybe even the crux of all the teachings of the scripture with respect to judgment is for us to say, don't be wasted and let eternity have its way in us. I think God wants the truth of eternity working its way in our hearts so that it begins to move outward towards others. We all know this life is tough. I don't know about you guys. Sometimes our own spiritual journey, I don't know if you've ever felt like 2 steps forward, 6 steps back. You ever felt that? I have. It's messy. What Jesus is talking about here is not perfect lives. There are no perfect people in this room. There was one perfect one for all time who's ready to share his perfection with anyone that just has the humility to ask for it. Like, I don't have it. I can't do it. Whatever it is that God has made us for and called us to care for each other, to be husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and grandparents and uncles and aunts and roommates and friends and coworkers and all of the unique places that God has wired us to be and called us to be. We will all fall short of the glorious, perfect life that we always long for, and yet he's given us his perfection so we can be in these places to care for each other, for eternity to come alive, for eternity to take over our actions, for eternity to inform our interactions with those who have no church home, or those that do not know about eternity, or those that are far from God, or those that are little kids that are in our homes and every other place. And so the question this morning is, how much is eternity churning in you? It's easy to be lulled Monday through Friday into thinking that we don't matter. But when we do and when we are eternal, all of the sudden, everyone else, we have a different lens, because the person that you're fighting the parking spot for is eternal. And all of a sudden, the things that maybe aren't as important or maybe feel important aren't as important anymore. It's important that we let eternity just have its way. And stirring the heart and maybe even getting us to ask questions that we need to ask. I remember we were with our kiddos. We were watching a video series. I don't know if you're familiar with the Bible Project. It's a great resource, and I'm grateful for it. And we were watching as a family. This is like 8 or 9 years ago. And we were, they had like little videos. They're all like 8 minutes long, 10 minutes long, but they have all these amazing illustrations. And so it really helped engage the kids. And so we were going like book by book and watching these videos and talking with the kids about it. It was really great. And we watched the very first one, and it was Genesis chapter 1 through 11. And it was this great teaching and illustration and all of the stuff that happened in Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis 11. And I remember at the end of that video, my oldest daughter, who was like 9 at the time, she, after wrestling with the concepts and thought, she goes, "Hey, Dad, why did God even make the serpent in the first place?" And I was like, that's a great question. And I loved for just a moment, my daughter had to wrestle with a really hard thought. Why do we even have this mess in the first place? For eternity just to get churned for a minute, and for me to have a little bit of fear of like, how am I gonna answer this question succinctly or well? That's one that we've been wrestling with our whole lives, and one that I don't have time for this morning, but we'll try to get to later. Let it churn. You're eternal. You're gonna last forever. And you matter, and what you do here matters, and we'll all stand before Jesus, opening our lives up. And we'll talk about what judgment looks like for the believer and the non-believer here over the next few weeks. But awaken. Eternity is meant to be lived now, It's with a person who's here right now. Hear this. Eternal life, the concept, is not just a time frame to come. It is the presence of a person who is here now and ready to lead us. And he was trying to awaken those Pharisees, saying, don't be lulled into thinking that this life doesn't matter and that you've got it all figured out. Come to me and get what you need. Let's pray. Father, we just want to take this last few minutes to just let our hearts churn for a minute. We want to give you this, just this moment to let our hearts be a little bit vulnerable with you and recognize our whole lives are going to go on for forever. This body may be wasting away, but everything we do here matters. And if you're here this morning and maybe you're looking at the scope of your life and feeling judgment, maybe feeling even what we might call shame or guilt, like, oh, my life, I've done this bad and you don't know what I've done here, and maybe even feels like an accusing voice in your ear. If you're here feeling accusation, hear the voice over the accusation of a father who is inviting you to come home to him. Let the voice of the Father wash over you. And the way that you do that is you just confess. And if you're here and you feel fear about the age to come, or if you're here and you're wrestling with doubts, or you don't even believe, you're not sure you believe in God, offer that to him. Say, God, I need help believing and trusting. If you're here and you're looking at some of your past and feeling pain and judgment, shame and guilt that feel overwhelming, would you tell him and offer it to him? Say, I don't want to carry this. I'm offering this to you. Here's where I've fallen short. You can just literally hand it over in your heart to this Father who is saying you matter and receives you even now. And if there is anything right now in your life that is keeping you from God, something that makes you feel like you can't talk to him, would you share that? Tell the Father that here's this big thing that is keeping me from you, and I'm so weary of carrying it. Would you offer it to him? It's actually called worship if you'll just hand it over. Here's my fears. Here are my doubts. Here's my anger. Here is my hurt. I don't want to have the distance that I saw the rich man in that story have from you. You can have nearness with this king, just like Lazarus did. If you'll open your heart to receive. So, Father, we together just hand over to you the heavy things. If you're here and you've never done this with Jesus before, you can do this literally right now. You can hand over your sin, shame, guilt, pain, hurt, anger, frustration. You can hand it to him right now and receive in exchange his embrace, his perfection, his kindness, his mercy, his goodness. You can have it all right now. Make the exchange. If you've done that 1,000 times, do it 1,001 today. Receive, receive, receive goodness and mercy, His embrace. Then we can all ask together, Lord, would you help us live our everyday lives in light of eternity? Help us to care for those around us, the eternal lives of those around us, to minister, to encourage, to be a blessing, to speak truth, to be kind, to be loving, to be merciful. Everything that you've given to us, I pray it would work its way out of us to those around us. All the forgiveness, let us be forgiving. All of the mercy, let us be merciful. All of the kindness, let us be kind. I pray we would receive and give, receive and give, receive and give. Ask God to give you grace to give what He has given to you this week. Help me give what you gave. We love you, God. I pray you would make our hearts ready for this series as we keep opening your word to trust you in every word you have to say. Lead us in faithfulness, we ask in Jesus' name. This morning, we'll finish with some prayer partners. We'd love to pray with you. I'm gonna pray our benediction as we go, if you guys would stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, who is able, we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings, guys. Love y'all. We'll see you next week.